conservative or liberal, however they're defined, it's not about interpretation or the judgment of the mind. It's the opposite of politics, power or prestige. It's about a simple message and whether we
Praise God. I love that song. And it's very very on time for our times. Before we go to the Word, well, today is, got too much stuff up here, 6/26/2022. The name of, we're at Faith Bible Church in Steger, Illinois. For those out there, come join us. Sometime, if you're in the area. The name of my message is Victory Over Sin, God's Way. We got to know this stuff, or we're going to be defeated believers. And so, before we go to God, we have some prayer requests. I want to... That song we sang, where I want to live above the world, those Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the songs of saints on higher ground. That's kind of going to be what my message is going to be about. We need to know how to deal with sin God's way. Because there's many ways in religion, man-made tradition. You know, turn from all your sins. Good luck. You know, they're trying to cut off the fruit, but they don't get to the root. You know, seek the Holy Spirit, right? All its emotion. God's got a way. It's a cross. So before anything, let's go to God in prayer. We want to pray for our those in authority. Remember voting. I think it's this Tuesday. Go out and vote and vote your convictions. We have an unspoken prayer request for a co-worker of Rachel's. She can tell she's going through something because they're discreet a lot.
She's oh. That's what I was telling you before.
Okay.
It's just, she's going through a lot, and she's taking it out on others.
Okay. So we want to keep her in prayer. God knows her name. We want to keep Esther Ricky in prayer, of course. Keep me in prayer today as I minister the word. And let's keep each other in prayer for growth, application of God's word, and to take the gospel out to the lost, that God fills our heart with like his love and his passion for the lost. And then for the saved, that they would be, we would reach out to them with that grace truth, that mystery truth with the word rightly divided. God will give us boldness, but to speak the truth in love. Is there any other prayer requests? Thank you. Oh, I was going to say thank you because I never remember in law. Yeah, for Autumn, for continued healing, and
my sister.
For Thornton's sister. And trying to think. So we'll go to prayer, to the Lord in prayer. And let's do that now. Dear Heavenly Father, always I want to thank you first before I approach you with prayer, before we do together as an assembly. We want to thank you for prayers you've answered, sometimes that we didn't even acknowledge. We pray and then we're trying to pray in faith, and then sometimes we think, oh, something happened just by coincidence, and we doubt. But thank you for your Holy Spirit that intercedes for us with groans too deep to be uttered. He fills what we feel. And thank you for that personal relationship with Christ, his very life, resurrection life in us. We pray for our those in authority, Father, first for their salvation, and then they come to the knowledge of the truth. We pray you draw them as they look at issues, that you draw them to your word. And I pray, Father, sometimes it seems like we can get bitter at some because of what they're doing. But we were once lost and enemies in our mind. And we realize, Father, we need to pray for them. They'll do more than complaining. And so we lift them up to you, Father. We pray for these elections, that those that would be elected would be those who would most do your will. And so we just leave that in your hands. We pray that all of us stay focused on you, Father, amongst what Satan would them flaming darts he'd hurl at us, distract us, try and shame us, blame us. And then we would just stay focused on Christ and just continue to learn how to wield that double-edged sword of the Spirit and lift up that shield of faith. And faith comes by hearing your word. I pray for Rachel's friend, Father, that we lift her up to you. And we pray that you just, I don't know if she's saved. If not, I pray for her salvation. These things would draw her to you. She is saved. I pray she learns how to walk in your spirit. And I pray for all of us. We all face struggles every day, Father, every single one of us. But you've given us a total program of victory in Christ Jesus. We're more than conquerors. And as we apply your word, what we're learning, then we walk like more than conquerors. And everything, we just we pray for Thornton's sister, pray for Autumn. We pray, Father, we know you can do exceedingly abundantly in that situation more than we could ask or think. I pray your will be done. And personally, Father, I just pray that she would have function of her leg. And that you just help her to keep her focus on you. And even in the situation, that it would draw her unto you and she would find her strength in Christ like never before. Because you work all things for our good. And so we give you the glory, the honor, Father, and may your Holy Spirit just be the real teacher as always. Let me hide behind the cross. And may your Spirit just empower my words as I preach your word. In Jesus' name I pray, man. So, again, good morning again. And, Y'all look kind of awake, better than at adult Sunday school class. And I thought, you know, it's kind of better adult Sunday school. Everybody's fresh. You know, they haven't sat through Sunday school, but it's like a lot of times people are still half asleep. And then when the preaching gets, by the time the preaching gets going, they wake up. But again, the name of my message is Victory Over Sin, God's Way. We need to know these things. I mean, you know, sometimes people tell me, I tell them, you know, why do you come to church? You know, and it's always, people come for different reasons. Some people come like a country club, you know, fellowship. And the swell, the fellowship is sweet here. Amongst the saints, it's encouraging, man, because everybody, I believe, has an inward spiritual gift, at least one, and when you get together, you build each other up. You know, Holy Spirit's working, you know, and it's sweet. But, so that's one reason. We need to assemble together. You know, look at the book of Hebrews, but to me, this is transdispensational. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, but to encourage one another, right? And then but we don't just come for the fellowship. We could go to the bar for that, right? We could go to a country club. We could join Moose Lodge, you know. But we come to study this word, and we study it rightly divided, right? And why? What do I always say? Today I had the toothpick out already, but imagine. When I take the toothpick out, open up your minds, think, right? Don't just, you know, put your brain next to you, and then after church, put it back in so you can go watch the Bears game, right? So we study. So open up your mind. Let's open up the Word of God. Let's rightly divide it in context. Why? So we can apply it in our daily lives. Because I don't care how much you know. It's not what you know. It's how much you apply of what you know. That's where knowledge becomes wisdom. That's where thoughts become actions. And love is an action word, ain't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's just not a noun. God is love. And He's just not a noun. You know, God is all powerful. And His love in us, that's fruit of the Spirit. That's what He wants producing us. So, but we got to struggle, don't we? As new creations in Christ, and that's who you became when you trusted in Christ. And what's the gospel that saves today? It's not repent and be baptized for remission of sins and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That gospel saved in time past. That was Israel's gospel. Ours is what? That Christ died according to the Scriptures, right? He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, I got to apologize because I've been saying, I got to quit saying rose again because He only rose once. But in the Scripture it said rose again. So, yeah. So I apologize for saying that because I said some, as I read it, I go, it don't say rose again. But the idea is He rose, right? It's according to the Scriptures. And so that's how God can save someone. Christ died for their sins. But how do you receive it? You're saved by grace, unmerited favor. You don't earn it, right? You're saved by grace through faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Somebody shared the gospel with you. Thank God for that person, right? Amen. Can you say amen? That day? There's the dude who led me to the Lord on TV. I thank God all the time for him. I would never follow that guy today. He's off on his doctrine, but boy, was he on that line, and I thank God for it. See, it's not only mid-existentialists God could use, because he wouldn't have much to work with. What I'll say is, I think he can use you more effectively when you understand his will, what he's doing, because you know how to rightly divide the word. So we're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It's a gift to God, right? It's a gift to us, because Christ purchased us by his own precious blood. Right? Imagine him on the cross, what he went through. Not only physically, I mean, it was terrible. They ripped, shredded his back up, pushed his crown down. You hear going through his hands and his feet, but the mantle, what he took for us. How Satan and all his dominions, the principalities and powers, was on him. Remember, I don't know if you remember, I preached one time, taking a glimpse of Christ on the cross. Went through his head. We went through in the Old Testament, how the dogs surrounded him. You know, the bulls of Bashan. So, you know, it's a gift to us, but man, it ain't cheap grace. It costs Christ his very life. But Christ, for the joy set before him, he had joy. Do you got joy today? Let me ask you. With all the stuff going on in our country or whatever you're faking, do you got joy? Because if you don't, then you're not focused on the joy set before you. It's Paul says, I forget the past, right? I press on to that high calling of Jesus Christ. It's when Christ expresses glory, his life, out of you. And that's a life of joy. And it's a life of peace. It's a life of love. That's lacking sometime in some mid-Acts dispensationals. Because they get it up here. They get the doctrine head. But it don't get into their will. It don't move in their feet. Except their mouth. They like arguing with people, right? And they turn people off to the message. We got to speak the truth in love and be patient. So as new creations in Christ, our new nature only wants to serve God. That's all you want to do. Inwardly, your new nature. You know that? You know you're not going to get nothing new except a new body without a sin nature? You already got eternal life. You have resurrection life. You're going to take that with you to the rapture in heaven. But, so we only want to serve God, right? But we got a problem until the rapture. We're still housed in a fleshly body that the sin nature indwells. But again, the Kirkster used to say, I used to call Kirkwood that, because he was a cool old dude, he had a way of saying stuff. It's not the degree of the difficulty that you face. Remember, it's the abundance of supply. You got the Holy Spirit in you. You got Christ with an endless life, endless power. And you have that resurrection power and life in you. And when we start seeing ourselves as God sees us, we start walking more consistent and more, I think, more powerful. And when I say powerful, I mean effective, adorning the gospel to the unsaved and those who, you know, want to argue with you about, oh, you're a hyper-dispensationalist. They start seeing that power and they know they ain't got it. So maybe there is something to this mid-Acts dispensationalism, right? So go to Romans 7, 17 to 20. Romans chapter 7. I've heard mid-Acts dispensationalists, supposedly grace Bible teachers, and I'll tell you, there's a lot that are turning, falling away from that today. I could name you a few right now. I looked at somebody and they went, I'm not pointing anybody here, okay? Anyway, sometime I see humor from up here. Romans 7, 17 to 20. And I've heard supposedly grace believers say we don't have a sin nature anymore. Because in the King James Version, the translation, it looks like it's been destroyed. Its power has been destroyed. It's still there, right? And he says, and starting in verse 17 to 20, now then, it is no more I. See, Paul realized something. See, Paul fell short too, daily. Came up short daily. Right, Ray? Bill got a double dose of short jokes this morning. So then, it is no more I who do it. See, not Paul in his new nature, but sin. That's a sin nature he's talking about. That dwelleth in me. See, it's in these bodies of flesh. So you're going to struggle. It's going to want to do its way. It's going to want pleasure. That's what the carnal prosperity preachers. They tickle their ears and they stroke the flesh. They motivate it with that teaching. We're supposed to be content, right? In all things. Godliness with contentment is great gain. What do they say? No, you got to get more from God. Man, I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing complete in Christ. What more you got to give me? One time I'm witnessing to a Mormon on the bus. And I said, look it, I'm complete in Christ. I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing. I'm guaranteed heaven. I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit. I said, what you got to offer me? He said, the priesthood. I said, there is no priesthood today. That's Israel. And then he's like, you know, and I still pray. I've talked to, you know, I studied apologetics through the years. So you know how to defend your worldview and also how to help them to think. And I still pray for them seeds with Jehovah's Witnesses that I invite them in the crib.
Amen.
You know, yeah, come on in. You know, most Christians, because they don't get into this word enough, the cults will twist them like a pretzel. When we know this word, you know how to rightly divide it, you know how to wield it. You know, and you don't, it's not that you win the argument, because you can win the argument and lose a soul. You just want to make them think, plant seeds of the word, and pray for them. You know, one plants, another waters, they might come along, or you water it by prayer, but God gives the increase, it gives the growth. So Paul said, now it is no more I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know, see, Paul learned some things, that in me, that's in my flesh, he's talking about that sin nature, dwelleth no good thing. Your sin nature is corrupt. It doesn't get any better. When you become a Christian, it actually gets more subtle. It finds other ways, like self-righteousness, right? Looking down on other Christians, like a Pharisee. Oh, they don't know how to rightly divide the word. You know, they're not as spiritual as me. They do this and they do that. I'm so glad I'm not like other men, right? Other women. For he said, but Paul knew some, for I know that in me, that's in my flesh, it dwells no good thing. For to see Paul inwardly, for to will is present with me. His new nature wanted to serve God. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. Now this is Paul, I believe, after being saved. We've went over this, I think, at Sunday school. But he got himself back under sort of performing. And he said, and I died. It means that's not spiritually dead. Functional death, no fruit. And he found that out. So now he could share it with us, right? With believers, he's writing about it. For the good, in verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it's no more I, see, me, who I am in my new nature as a new creation in Christ. If you like King James, a new creature in Christ. But sin that dwelleth in me. So we all got that sin nature. Don't let nobody tell you you don't. And you're no match for it. Because you'll think it's your thoughts. Hey, that will be pleasurable, right? That's why you need to know this word of God. You need to know God's thoughts, because your new nature thinks God's thoughts. As you're filling it and you're renewing your mind, you're being transformed. And that's where later we'll get into, and I went over it before, that you tell yourself, the power, the cross broke the power of sin. I don't have to give in to it. That's not me where that thought's coming from. Satan throws flaming darts, causing you to doubt, to lust, whatever it might be, self-righteous. But Martin Luther said, I believe it was, that you can't do nothing about a bird landing on your head. But if you let it make a nest, that's on you. See, thoughts are going to come. But we'll see how sin produces actually always corruption. The wages of sin is death, right? Now, we can't lose our salvation, but we can be functionally dead where we're a tree, but it's not producing fruit. Do you want fruit in your lives? One person, everybody, should have said at least half the people. Amen. You know why? Do you want to be sad? Do you want to be depressed? Do you want to be greedy? Do you want to be bitter and unforgiveness? No, right? You want love, joy, and peace in your life, right? That's fruits of the Spirit. Do you want to live a life of defeat, depression? No. You want to live a life of victory in Christ.
That's right.
And that's why we come here, to learn this word. I don't know, care how much you know so far. Paul said, I'm not there yet. Praise God. He's very honest, you know. Even Paul came up short. Bill won't mess with Paul, just a little Paul up here. So, anyway, go to Galatians 6, 7, and 8. 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians 6, 7, and 8. This is a set principle. It's like gravity, okay? Now, this ain't God saying, Paul saying God's going to, if you sin, he's going to, or you stay in sin. I've heard that from a grace teacher that I really respect in a lot of ways, saying if a Christian stays in sin, God will take him out of this world. Well, I wouldn't be up here preaching, people. In my younger days, I was a believer, and I went back, I'm talking about months, back doing drugs. Because I was under legalism and I didn't know how to deal with my sin nature. I got so depressed. But when I learned about how to rightly divide the word, I learned God loves me unconditionally. I learned my identity in Christ. I learned the cross broke the power of sin, the reality of the resurrection in my life. I was able to deal with the now sin in my life. Now, I don't do it perfect. The pastor will tell you he doesn't. You know, we don't got this invisible halo that we shine every morning. Yeah, none of us are going to live perfect in this life. But you don't become sinless, but what happens as you grow? As you're applying this word, you start sinning less because things start falling off you. You start putting on Christ. Yeah, and you start learning because Scripture is like a light, right? Thy word is a lamp under my feet, right? A light under my path. That's why. Why do you think a lot of time you don't want to get into the word, or when you're going to, you get distracted? The flesh don't want you in this word because it reveals where it's got its claws in you. What did God tell Cain? Watch, for sin crouches at the door. It's always there. But see, when you understand, its power's been broke. You reckon yourself dead to sin and alive to God. You stay focused when you behold Him with your minds unveiled from the law, performance, and you're just focused on Christ. That means you keep your mind fixed, your spiritual eyes on Him. You behold Him. Boom! Oh, don't get distracted when Satan's throwing these. No, no, you just keep looking at Him and His heavenly ministry, high above all principalities, powers, and mights, and you're seated with Him. Praise God, that's where you are, your union with Christ, your oneness with Christ. There's victory there. And we behold Him as head of the body. We become transformed, right? More and more into His image. Praise God. That should be all of our desire. To have more and more of the mind of Christ. His sacrificial attitude. He didn't do what was best for Him, right? He did what was best for us. God demonstrated His love in this. While we're still sinners, Christ died for us. He did what was best for us. We didn't deserve it. What will that do for your marriage? What will that do for when you got stepsons and you get aggravated with them? What about your kids when you get frustrated when they tell you, I hate you. Because all you're doing is doing what's best for them. And when you feel like strangling them, grace will help you not to. Right? Grace will keep you doing what's best, even when they get angry with you. That's why the gospel, you share with the lost. Even maybe they're not going to want to hang with you anymore. Well, maybe you don't need to be hanging with them. But you want to be there to be able to share when they're ready. Then you love people. So, Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Again, this is a set principle. This isn't God's going to punish you if you sin. But be not deceived. God is not mocked. You ain't going to fool. I'm trying to think of the right word. God knows everything. He ain't going to be mocked. You know, he tells you what's good for you. Oh, no, God. You know, this is what I think. No, God knows. Father knows best. God is not mocked. Here's the principle. For whatever a man soweth, he shall also reap. If you sow corn, you're going to get corn. If you sow wheat, you're going to sow wheat. If you sow sin, you're going to get a... And it's not, you're just going to get one plant back. You're going to get a crop. Farmers know that, right, Thornton?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's why God's not going to punish us if we sin. He punished Christ. But you don't want to sin. It will destroy your life. It will destroy your testimony. It will hurt your family. What if you get tempted because you let that thought dwell? And that chick at work's be looking fine, boy. She was working out. I come home, my wife don't wear makeup, and you know, she's just wrinkled up clothes. Boy, she's looking good. But you see, treat me good. See the flesh. And then if you do that, you destroy your marriage. If you got kids, they're hurt, right? Don't let that thought take root. Reckon it dead right away. And so he says, now the opposite, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, you know Paul ain't saying you're earning salvation. You're reaping, because what's he say? You're saved by grace, not by works, right? He's talking about you're going to reap fruit with the life you have in you. You have everlasting eternal life in you. The life of Christ, right? Resurrection life. He ain't never going to die again, right? You don't need to. You can't. So the idea is walking, thinking, concentrating, and living under the influence of the Spirit. Look at 5:16. Paul commands us. This is in the command mode in the Greek. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Conduct your life in the Spirit, under the influence of the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill lust of the flesh. What does Paul say? Be not drunk on wine, which is an excess, right? A drunk. But contrary, the opposite, be filled with the Spirit. Don't depend upon... Whether it be wine, whether it be a person, whether it be your job, whether it be your family for meaning and purpose. Because mothers, what about when your kids move out? If your identity's mother, who are you? Like, I don't get it. I see a couple, their kids are going into college, and they have another one. I'm like, you're just getting them out the house. I think a lot of time it's a mother. Who am I now? I got to have another one because that's my identity. I'm a mother. But if you're a child of God and that's your identity, a saint, then it doesn't matter when things change. Because you have an indestructible identity in Christ. And only in this world of change, right? How things have changed since I've been a kid. What used to be, and it was right, today, or wrong, today they say the opposite. You know, that's Satan. You know, what's evil is good. What's good is evil. And so, excuse me. Go to Romans 6, 9 through 23. Romans chapter 6, 9 through 23. Wait, 19 through 23. I know I ain't gonna do that many verses. Hard enough to get my verses in as it is. Paul said, "I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded," and that can be interpreted, and I think a better translation would be presented, because yield has the idea like the Muslim concept, submit to Allah. If not, you're punished. Present means what? Like Paul says, "I urge you, brethren, to present your bodies." It's the same word. See, present means I want to. That's what your new nature wants to do, right? Present your body, worship God. That's the sin nature that don't. So he says, "For as you have yielded your members, servants to unrighteousness," that's in the past, when you're unsaved, "and to iniquity, unto iniquity." See, sin always, the flesh is never satisfied. It's insatiable. You give into it here, it wants some more. How do you think people start watching a little bit of pornography, light stuff, maybe Playboy magazine, and all of a sudden they get in this hardcore pornography, and then that don't do it even then. Then what are they getting into now? Child pornography. Little innocent children. The flesh is never satisfied. Don't never take sin lightly. Just because God's not going to forgive us. That's not His will for us. Is it? I don't care if you're under law, before law, under grace, or things to come. It's never God's will for His people to just outright sin. And praise God, at the rapture, we won't anymore. But until then, we have to depend upon Christ in us, and we have to appropriate by faith. And he says, verse 19 again, "I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield or present your members, servants to righteousness and the holiness." As we serve God, He's going to produce righteous things in our life, a righteous lifestyle. "For when you were servants of sin," I want you to think about this when you're unsaved. Think about, I can think of myself, because I was into drugs and picking up women, as many women as I can, younger in the gangs and different things, right? So I think of my life back then, and here's, "Ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed?" I'm ashamed of some things I've done in my life. But you know what? What'd Paul say? "I forget the past, and I press on." Go for the joy set before him, the joy set before us, if we think the mind of Christ. If you're running in a race and you're looking backwards, you're going to trip up and you're going to lose a race. You keep your eye on the goal, right? It's serving God. It's being used by God. It's glorifying Christ, reaching the lost, building up the saved. And so, see, sin will always bring shame in our lives, whether when we're unbelievers or as a believer. How many people didn't apply Paul's instructions? Say no to sin. Yes to God if you want. Live upright. Grace, he just does say, deny ungodliness. Say no to it. Live upright and godly. How many people say, and it's not just men. Women have committed adultery and just regretted it, the shame. You know, sometimes their kids don't want nothing to do with them the rest of their life. See, sin, you don't take it lightly. Amen. You don't focus on it, don't get me wrong. I'm just stressing because, you know, people say, "Oh, you mean because I'm under grace, because you tell them God's not going to punish you, Christ suffered, I could just go kill somebody. I'm like, do you want to? I didn't say that. You mean because you think God's going to punish you? That's the only reason? I thought we don't kill people because we're supposed to love people. Right? I don't strangle my kids because I'm supposed to love them. Right? And bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. Right? And so he says, but now, see them changes? Praise God, but now you're saved. Being made free from sin. What made us free? The cross. Broke the power of sin. Just jump back to verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. You died who you were in Christ, right? The moment you trusted, God buried you in Adam. And then you rose with Christ. Knowing this, that it, why did God do that? Knowing this, that our old man, who we were in Adam, is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. And that word destroyed means might be made inactive, ineffective, rendered inoperable, rendered powerless. That's what the cross, not only the blood shed on the cross forgave our sins, the cross broke the power of sin. That's how you overcome sin. Not in you being determined, I'm not going to sin, I'm not going to sin, I'm not going to sin, I'm not going to sin. What are you focused on? Sin. What are you going to do pretty soon? Your strength's going to wear off. You only got so much. And you're going to sin. And you're going to be flat on your face. So it's not you struggling in your own resources. I can will this. Remember Paul? What I want to do, he didn't have, he realized it's not through his own will. Some people are strong-willed, some are weak-willed. Some will give in real easy. Some, it take a little while, you know. But ours comes to an end. Don't depend on yourself. Reckon yourself dead to sin because the cross broke the power of it. And don't stop there. And then present yourselves to God in true worship, right? So, it said, knowing that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. And that's the same Greek word as when it said that Christ broke, Christ destroyed the devil, destroyed his power. Devil's still around, right? Look, watch 6 o'clock news. Don't watch it. But you'll see what some things he's doing out there. But the idea, it's destroyed, it's power. So we don't have to be on, we're freed. Free to live under God, right? Free to enjoy who you are as a child of God. Free to have joy and have peace. Free to love your wives when they're unlovable, when they get on your nerves. Free to respect and love your husband when they don't deserve it. Free to forgive people. Because we forgive is what? We've been forgiven. All right, let's go to Romans 8:6. While we're in Romans, while in Rome, do as the Romans do. Do as Paul wrote for the Romans to do. Romans 8:6. Now this is talking about functional death and functional life. It's not talking about losing your salvation. The idea is you're a believer, there's no fruit because you're walking in the under the influence of the sin nature. And that's where Satan works through the sin nature. Or you're presenting yourself to God, you're walking in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and what Paul say? You won't fill lust of the flesh. And now fruit is being produced. And I think all of us want that in our lives, don't you? The fruit of the Spirit, or do you want the works of the flesh? And the consequences of the works of the flesh. There's consequences of the fruit of the Spirit, too. Joy. Love. Peace. Long-suffering. Patience, right? All the way to self-control, goodness, kindness. Ain't that what kind of people we want to be? That's how Christ was, right? And see, we can't be it on our own. Remember, only Christ could give his life to us, he could save us, and only he can live his life to us. And that's where I think the majority in Christendom don't get. You know, and a lot of the preaching, even in grace circles, is like, well, Christ did this for you, so you do that for him. So people try. And they wonder why my Christian life ain't functioning. Because you're trying to do it in your own. You know, preaching shouldn't be motivating the flesh to perform. Because the flesh likes that. I'm moral. Remember, it was a tree of knowledge of good and evil. So the flesh can be very religious, very moral. You know, there's a lot of organizations that do a lot of good things, right? You think about it out there. Help the poor, you know. What did I say? Romans 8, 6. For to be carnally minded, so that's where the flesh is controlling you, is death. It's functional death. It doesn't mean you lose your salvation, because you can't go to one verse that might seem a little obscure and make a whole theology about it, right? Amen. We know we have eternal life, or God wouldn't have called it eternal life. He would have called it probation, right? But to be spiritually minded, see, focus on Christ. The Holy Spirit's keeping our focus on Christ. He's producing fruit. What happens? Life and peace. Don't you want peace in your life? Walk in the Spirit, you won't feel lust of the flesh, because the flesh won't give you peace. It will cause destruction in our lives. I'm so glad when I understood not only who I was in Christ. I mean, that was like a fountain when I understood grace through rightly dividing the word. A fountain of joy and release. I got, what is that? Joy like a fountain, I got peace like a river. I got love like an ocean in my soul, in my soul. That's what I found. But then I realized something. I had to learn to apply this word. We have a will. See, let's see if I can get to it. If not, I still got a few minutes, so I'll wait. So remember, we also, not only do we have the flesh, that's one enemy. We got three enemies, right? Satan, the world, he's got a course for this world. And then you got the inward enemy, the sin nature, right? Now, Satan works through, if it feels good, do it, right? So I get feelings, my will, I do. God works the exact opposite. God never says, if you feel like doing my will, do it. Do you feel like forgiving someone when they hurt you? Especially when they hurt you bad, maybe a friend, maybe a spouse, maybe a boyfriend. Hopefully not your girlfriend. If you're a girl. Just flying around. But here's how God works. If our attitude is based on God's word rightly divided, when thoughts come, God doesn't say, and we have his word. See, the Holy Spirit brings God's word into our minds. That's why it's important to memorize it, to study it, keep having your mind renewed and refreshed, right? So you're transformed and growing. Well, all right. Something happens, it might be disappointment, whatever. God's Spirit brings, let's say, forgiveness. Forgive as you've been forgiven. As dearly loved children, be imitators of God. Guess what? What's your flesh going to do? Are you crazy? Do you know what they did to me? Do you know who I am? They got no idea who they messing with. Right? The flesh is going to give you feelings. It might be anger. Or if you get a lustful thought and you play with it, it's going to produce desires. especially with men. Well, women nowadays too, but men are kind of visually stimulated. So what happens is it will produce desires. But if you're filtering it through godly attitudes, and an attitude, I want to glorify God, I want to serve God, I want to bring glory to the name of Christ, right? Then you forgive. God didn't say if you feel like it. You make a choice. See, our will comes in. Then what happens? Then you get the feelings. You're so glad you forgave because it releases me of this bitterness I've been having. I was stopping up, if you think about in your heart, the Holy Spirit, filling it with love and all this fruit, right? Well, now there's this hose that comes out that we're supposed to be splashing everybody else with the joy of the Spirit and the love. It's stopped up. And I don't like this bitterness. It's making me depressed. It's pulling me down. And Satan's going, you're such a fool. Shame on you. You call yourself a Christian. Huh? But when you apply the Word of God and you got that attitude of gratitude, and I want to serve God, I want to obey Him. But it's obey. When I say obey, I don't mean like, you know, a forced submission. I'm talking about I want to. It's a whole lot different. I had an uncle who says that he didn't have to take a shower every day. That was his gift to himself. And so when he took one, he felt good because he wanted to. Some people, I don't know why, they don't want to. They need to. Because if you get around other people, shouldn't be stanking.
Amen.
That ain't being adorning the gospel either, is it? You know, that old saying, I guess where they get that old saying, cleanliness is next to godliness. So, anyway, go to Ephesians 2:2. Wherein in times past, see again, you're rightly dividing your life. Time passed, but now, you know, things to come, the rapture. Wherein in time past, you walked according to the course of this world. Satan's got a course for this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. So if we don't get into the Word, and if we're not applying this Word, we're going to be, what did Paul say? Be not conformed to this world, right? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's through the Word of God. Go to Ephesians 6, 10 to 13. And there's a very important principle here. Finally, now this is, think all the wonderful, high spiritual truth in the book of Ephesians, right? All of our spiritual blessings, you know, Paul explains to us time past, but now things to come, how to rightly divide the Word. And now he's wrapping everything, he's saying, it's his, what do they call that? Final postscript. What can I say that can wrap everything up that's so important? And he's telling them about putting on the full armor of God, right? God's given us armor. Finally, my brethren, be strong for the Lord. Is that what it says?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Very important words, right? Be strong in the Lord, not be strong for the Lord. It's in His power, His might. We can do all things through Christ, right? Yeah. You see how Paul says it all through his epistles. And in the power of His might, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know what wiles are? Methods. Devices. Satan's got them. And boy, he knows, he studied men for a few thousand years, right? He knows, and you know, most of us ain't that important that Satan deals with us directly. But he's got principalities, powers, mights, right? So we probably, I would say, got a demon assigned to us. He might be assigned to 100 people, I don't know. But, so he's gonna, demons study you. Just like angels, they learn from us, right, about God's grace. Paul says, he knows what rocks your boat, knows your weaknesses, and that's where he's going to hit you. Dave used to say, put on that whole armor of God, don't leave a chink open, or that's where Satan's going to get you in. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. People ain't our enemies. Remember that. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So Satan works through the sin nature. God works through our new nature. We're not to be ignorant of Satan's methods or devices, you know that? You better be aware of your enemy, because he's sure aware of your weaknesses and what rocks your boat. So we don't want to be ignorant of Satan's methods, devices, schemes, nor how is sin conceived and manifested. And we also need to know how God gives us victory over these enemies of our soul. Go to Romans 8:11. And stay in Ephesians 6:16. Keep your finger there. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, of Him that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, raised up Jesus from the dead, dwells in you. Well, He does, right? Doesn't Paul tell us when you believe, you heard the gospel of your salvation and believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit? So the idea is, since the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, He that raised Christ from the dead, imagine the power it took to raise Christ from the dead when He had all the world's sins on Him. He shall quicken, give life, spiritual life, resurrection life, to your mortal bodies. Notice He didn't say your flesh. See, your body's neutral. It can manifest the life of Christ, or it can manifest the sinful nature, you know, because the sin nature is in us. So that's where our will comes in. And he says, so that's how God does it. It's through His Spirit. He gives, He takes what Christ through His resurrection gave us, and that we have, and as we depend on Him and walk in the Spirit, He makes it real in our experience. Have you ever experienced that? If not, I would get the CD and listen to this message again, so you can experience that in your life. I'm not talking about nobody every minute is, you know, skip to loop, my darling, everything's, every day is just, you know, joyful every second. But have you ever experienced victory because you appropriated by faith what Christ has done?
Amen.
Go to Ephesians 6:16. That's why I said keep your finger there. Above all, this is part of our spiritual armor, right? So above all, taking the shield of faith. Where's faith come from?
Hearing the word of God.
Some people have been in the Word. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. Whereas you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. We walk by faith, not sight, right? Even when things are tough, you got to say, Lord, You said You're working this for my good. I praise You and I thank You. I don't see how You're going to do it, be honest. But You're faithful. God can't lie. He's not a man. People say, you know, nothing's impossible with God. They take that verse out of context. The one area Christ was talking about, salvation. you know, with man it's not possible. With all things God, with God it's possible. But God can't lie. God can't do all things. He can do anything within His will and within His character. So let's look at how is sin conceived. Go to James. We can learn some from James. James 1, 13, right after Hebrews. Even though you got to remember who's James writing to. Verse 1, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, had 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greedy. But isn't all scripture profitable?
Right.
See, this is transdispensational, how sin works. John writes about it too. The pride of life, right? The lust of the flesh. Go to James 1, 13 to 15. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. See, God don't bring your tribulations and your problems and your temptations. For God can, here's another thing. God can't be tempted with evil. There's another thing God can't do. Neither tempted he any man. People go, God's putting me through this test. If he brings you to it, he'll bring you through it. No, God don't do that. We live in a fallen world. Stuff happens. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have troubles. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Right? And he says, but every man, not just, it ain't just the Jews. Gentiles too. And it's not just the men, ladies. And every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust. Where does that come from? The sin nature. And enticed. So see, you get a sinful thought, and instead of dealing with it, you dwell upon it. And it produces desires, right? And look what he says. And when lust has conceived, because you let that thought in your head, what does it do? It brings forth sin. And what sin bring? Death. Corruption. It will hurt our lives. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So you can see here the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. John writes about that. And that's from Genesis, right? Didn't Satan use all three of them things? And Satan tempted Christ with all three of them things. Right? Turn the bread, he was hungry. Turn the bread to the rocks to bread, right? The pride of life. Throw yourself down. If you're the Son of Man, you don't got to go to a cross and suffer. If. But Christ knew the word, right? Satan didn't have a chance, but Christ says, wow, spiritually speaking. So temptation begins in the mind, a thought. That's why in 1 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5, what does our Apostle Paul tell us? To take every thought captive. Imaginations, thoughts, right? Take it captive right away to the obedience of Christ. So I'm going to be wrapping up. Satan works through the flesh in this way. He and his demons hurl flaming darts at our minds. Thoughts. If we don't take these thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, and we begin to let our minds dwell on them, those thoughts will produce desires. It might be lustful desires or bitter emotions stemming from unforgiveness, etc. It could be a lot of things. And our thoughts produce desires or emotions. If I'm thinking fearful thoughts, I'm going to feel fearful. If I'm thinking sad thoughts, how are my emotions? They're dumb. They respond to my thoughts. I'm gonna feel sad. I'm gonna feel depressed if I continually think on them things. If your thoughts are thinking thankful thoughts, what are you gonna have? Joy, right? There's a lot about thinking in the Word of God. So our thoughts produce desires and emotion. Same strategy is to affect our thought life, which will affect our desires. Thus, number one, feelings, and try us to get us to act out those feelings and desires. Now, what is God's wise strategy? Wise and divine strategy for victory over Satan, the sin nature, and this world. We need to live by faith, not by sight, or feelings. We need to walk in the truth of His Word, rightly divided, and as we apply that truth to the details of our lives, we're set free. And our lives will adorn the gospel. And you're going to enjoy your life a lot more.
Amen.
Yeah. You're going to enjoy your Christian life. It's not going to be a burden. So let's guard our thoughts, because they will produce desires, and our actions will follow our thoughts and attitudes. And that goes with God's too. Fill our mind with God's Word, so that feeds our new man. So I'll end with that. Thanks for staying awake. And thanks for the amens and encouragement. And I thank you as my brothers and sisters. I love you guys so much. That's one reason I really enjoyed the church when I first came here, because of the warmth and the love and the sound doctrine. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we lift up Pastor Ricky to you. I pray for his physical things, like with the asthma. And we pray that you just bring wonderful thoughts of your grace to his mind today. And as he prepares this week for next week, or you just, your Spirit gives him wisdom and insight. And I pray for whoever, I'm not sure who is going to teach adult Sunday school next week, that you do the same thing with them. And we thank you, Father, for just your grace and for instruction and equipping us to live a life of victory as more than conquerors. Fill our hearts with that desire, Father. And may we always, as we grow, Father, continue to realize it's not us, but Christ, and give Him the glory.